Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We just welcome you again here to this fine old house that has been built many years ago, and it's just as sound today as it was then. And we just thank God for his preservation for us to be able to keep it that way. So again, here we are for Independence Day and the many lives that was put forth so we could have this freedom that we got today. So Lord, we just thank you for all the lives that was shared in the past. And we don't want to forget them at any time. And some of them have been family, close family. So let us share that or embrace it in our hearts this day and let it be remembered. Any announcements, please? Nancy. Bible study, 7 o'clock, right? Tuesday night, all welcome.
Pertaining to the flood.
Pertaining, I need extra ears, so thank you. I see you, Juan. Francis.
Okay. There's birthday treats back there.
Birthday treats. Well, while she's mentioning the birthday, who has a birthday in July? Well, we got a few. Okay, that's wonderful. Just happy that we've reached another milestone coming up here. So we give the Lord praise for that. Let us sing that little song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. That takes care of the birthdays. Don't forget your newsletters in the back mailboxes. If you have already checked, that's great. And any other announcements, then?
I just want to announce that I did hear from Pastor Tracy this week. Today is his birthday as well. And he said that he wanted me to extend a happy 4th to the congregation. He's been listening to the sermons every Sunday that Maxine's been putting on. He thinks the church seems to be doing very well.
And he asked that I just say that he loves you all and misses you too. Okay. Always good to hear from him. And I've been you're talking about the procrastination this morning. I haven't called Tracy yet to talk to him since he's been going, and I feel terrible about that because he's missed. He's a good guy. Any other announcements? If not, I think Deb has something that she would like to read or share.
I just want us to take time. This is the 4th of July weekend. We always hear happy 4th of July. We should be happy. But it's also our independence. And always remember, yes, it's our Independence Day many, many years ago, but our first independence came when Jesus went on that cross and died for our sins so that we could have freedom in him. So I just found a couple little things here on the internet about freedom. The first one says, it is freedom that Christ has set us free, and that comes out of Galatians 5:1. Another one says, celebrate your freedom in Christ this Independence Day. And this is from I'll wait and tell you who it's from. Independence Day. Freedom has its life in the hearts, the actions, and the spirits of men. So it must be daily earned and refreshed. Else, like a flower cut from its life, giving roots, it will wither and die. Now think about that a minute. Think about it. Because if we don't act upon that and have the spirit within us, our freedom will die. Our freedom, not only in this country, but our freedom in Christ. So, and guess who was the author that penned that? Dwight D. Eisenhower. That tells you what the father was, where their heart was, where their mind was set.
He was the one that put God, what is it, on the money, on the back of the dollar bill.
I believe you're correct.
God,
yes.
We trust.
Okay, so I thought it would be nice, how many of us remember years gone by when we were in school, especially in elementary school, the very first thing of the day, the well, a prayer was already gone, but Madeline O'Hara, whatever her name, already had that out. But our first days, Faye and I's first days, started out with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Amen.
Let us stand, and we have a little flag up there, and let us together do the Pledge of Allegiance and think about not only what the meaning of that flag means, but the meaning of what Christ has done for us in giving us freedom. So let's stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And may we add amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deb. Thank you. At this time, we'll have a prelude, please. Thank you. That was beautiful. For our call to worship this morning, we're going to look at Romans 15, 5 to 7. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Let us bow our heads, please. Father God, again, we would ask that you would teach us, Heavenly Father, to be tolerant. You would teach us to love our brothers and our sisters, Heavenly Father. You would teach us to serve our fellow men and women. And Father, would you help us to grow in your love this day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we'll have a hymn, please. I put eye drops in my eyes so I could see it a little better. Now I think I see worse.
358. We stand.
Do we look better?
No. Wait a minute.
Thank you.
Have any joys or concerns you'd like to share? Thank you, Sydney.
And we had a joy. Eliza got to Idaho this time.
Eliza got one, honey?
Eliza got to Idaho.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you.
It was great seeing him.
Okay. Others, please.
Jerry? I want to keep my friend Velma. She was on her way. She's got throat cancer, and she was on her way to the doctor's the other day on Friday, and some girl rear-ended them at the stoplight and totaled their vehicle. Thank God they both, her and her husband, were fine. But she's had a streak of bad luck, and really, we need to pray hard for her.
Amen.
And along with my list of many, I do have a joy that 12:35 this morning, that 59 years ago, I made these two parents.
Well put.
Yeah, but you see, I knew you long before that.
But that was the best joy you ever had, right?
Yep. Okay, Wanda.
Young lady before, but Jerry just told me this morning that Miss Betty Moser, which is Alice's Aunt Betty, passed away. So please keep her family and friends and everything in our prayers. Plus, this isn't a joy or concern, but maybe we better announce this, that Worship in the Park is the 24th. And that we have a meal afterwards, that the Ladies' Aid will provide the paper goods, but other people are to bring, you're to bring sandwiches to share, and some side dishes, and your own drink. So.
I did put that in the newsletter, by the way.
Did you?
Yes.
Good. But I just thought maybe we better start announcing about.
Brother Sam's supposed to minister that Sunday, and
we have special music.
Special music coming that Sunday too, so it should be a real treat all the way around. Okay, any others, please?
I want to continue Ricky and Alan and Debbie.
Thank
you. Others?
I got a few texts this week, and I won't go into detail, but asking me to pray for them and guide them. So I have some unspoken. The Lord knows who it is that needs the guidance and needs the prayers. Sometimes the best prayers are
unspoken. Amen. Frank.
I think we ought to continue to remember you, brother, and Ralph, Danny, back here, and some of the others that have been suffering with problems and situations. And my wife, Pat, as well.
And it's good to see Darcy chipper, too. She come walking in there like, boy, she'd be ready to play some softball. I don't know. Danny.
My neighbor's brother, my other neighbor's wife, and my niece.
And keep Danny and the family as well. And also Danny.
Yeah, about him down here. And niece, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any more, please? Okay. Without those been spoken of, let us humbly come before the Lord in prayer. And as you feel comfortable, please kneel, sit, whatever makes you feel worthy of the cause. Father God, again, as we open our eyes this morning and we looked and we seen the daylight, well, you know, Lord, you are there every minute of the day. No matter what our circumstances are, you are near us. And Father, we ask for that abiding care to be among the many names that have been posted here on this paper and listened to into the ears of many. And Father, we're just going to name the names off again as a refresher. You know what the situation is, Father. You know who needs healing. You know who needs comfort. You know who's hurting right now from separation. Oh, Father, we ask that you lift them up and may the freedom of healing always be present. And Father, may you always be present as well. And Father, we think of Jim Moser. We think of Elijah. Velma, Jerry's friend and his list. Betty Moser and the family. Ricky, Alan, Debbie, and Darlene. Deb's unspoken prayers. Myself and Ralph and Deb. Pat, Danny and Kathy. Danny's neighbors. And the wife and the niece. Oh, Father, so many. We give them up to you. We have no power on our own except a little comes in a AA battery, I think. But Father, how you can magnetize that thing and materialize that thing and just make it grow. For you hear many coming from our sources to lift up this person or that person for healing, for love, for care, for supervision, whatever it might be. Oh, Father, we ask that you guide us always. Thank you for the life that you've given us, and thank you for the loved ones that you've allowed us to share with our cousins and aunts and uncles. How precious it is. And Father, on this Independence Day, too, we are reminded of all those who have sacrificed for our freedom. Let us not take our freedom for granted, O Lord. May we always remember that freedom was purchased with a very high price. Our freedom costs lives, O Lord, today. Bless those who have served and continue to give their life for our freedom. Help us to live a life in a way that glorifies you, Lord. Give us strength to be a blessing in someone else's life today. And grant us the opportunity to lead others into that freedom. Oh, Lord, watch over their families and provide their needs. Help us give the service, not self, for God and country. We ask these things, Heavenly Father, because you are the provider of all. And we know that you are in control of all. For Father, we do ask in your holy name. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. At this time, we'll have a hymn. For our scripture reading this morning, we're taking it from Exodus 14, 13 and 14. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." As a sermon reference this morning, we've entitled this, "The Discipline of Standing Still." You know, a lot of these things, and I heard on Charles Stanley this morning, they come together with a touch of the spirit, a touch of the soul. And so I want to think about that a little bit, because discipline means self-control. It means to train yourself in a way that is respected. It's a source of instruction. So my friends, as we evaluate this today, somewhere along the travel in life, you know, you probably heard the old saying, if you think long, you think wrong. I didn't know how your experiences have been, but for me, the more time I have to evaluate a situation, I think a better solution is often found. So, as in the message titled, "The Discipline of Standing Still," I just want you to concentrate on that a little bit. And it might sound kind of weird at times, but then again, you'll see the value come out of it. You know, this sets the standards for the test of being patient. Listen for the Creator's authority to move forward in a positive direction for a profound, what? A conclusion to many of the hurried elements, decisions we have to make in this life. So why should we stand still? Well, what do you think? I think because we want to get it right. We don't want a mistake. So as in the intro for today's message, I'd just like to share an example of an article in 1988. It was a National Geographic photographer titled "Honey Hunters." Now, you know, I love honey in my coffee and most other things. I think you do too. But just listen to what this guy goes through to get a photo so he can put it in his magazine. And the photographer he needed for his column, it states, the photograph was a jungle nomad, or a tribesman, named Manny Lau. He was gathering honey in the largest honey shelter of the Himalayas. What makes this such an adventurous photograph was the fact that Eric was dangling from a nylon rope 395 feet above a cliff. I love honey, but I'm certainly not going to hang by a rope and get into a mess of bees just trying to get a little bit of that. That guy had a lot of nerve. He had a lot of spirit. But you know, before undertaking this various feat, Eric was warned that these or there would be thousands of bees swarming around, and sudden movements would send the bees into a stinging frenzy, which could cost both the men their lives. Although Eric received just a few stings, he quickly learned that the secret to capture such an incredible image would require him to assume a position of frozen stillness. Stand still. Sit still. The discipline of standing still. Can you see it? How something so dangerous turned out to be a prize-winning photo because of his discipline, his patience, his willingness to heed the voices of instruction given to him. Are we willing to accept the discipline and practices of standing still? I have trouble with that a lot of times. It ain't because I want to move, but there's something in my body that moved me. And I think you all know what I mean. So long enough to gather the facts of good judgment and successful ambitions for our daily lives, or do we want to be in the fast lane with every decision? And you've heard this old expression before too, by jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire, smoke come up and what do you got? I hope we didn't do that. Now we thought about that a little bit. Now let's share something or some time with some biblical examples. In Mark 10, Jesus is passing through Jericho, a little town just north of the Dead Sea. You know, the same little town where Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, he had a good job, didn't he? At that time, he could work for Mr. Biden. Climbed a tree and just to witness this man named Jesus and give him a welcome of gladness, and later repented and received the gift of salvation. Wow. These things can change and people can change. Then moments later, when a blind man named Bartimaeus captured his attention in Mark 10, verse 49, and it records, and Jesus stood still. He stood still. He paid attention. Very observant. You know, if there is a lost discipline in our spiritual lives today, it is the art of being still. Mom thought I couldn't be still when I was younger. And Frank, he couldn't either. He was really more active than what I was. But we'll let that rest right there. But anyhow, well, you might ask, why would you say that? The art of being still. Well, because the philosophy of the world says be strong, be first, be aggressive, or be busy. But has it ever dawned on you just how often the Lord has said, be still? I don't know. Maybe you can Google it and find out just how many times he did say it. You know, just like the direction of our parents that they used to give us, and we to our children when moments of confusion set in, I think you know what I mean. And Frank and I, he was always a trouble causer. Always knew that if we didn't be still and get straight, there would be a little something extra in store for us if we didn't listen. So my friends, it doesn't matter whether it is here or now or back in Elijah's time, was on the lonely mountain of discouragement, or Israel at the Dead Sea of the Red Sea, dead end of the Red Sea, or Job in the crucible. You know, he had protection armor of his furnace. The saints of old found comfort and peaceful resolve in stillness before the Lord. A former Wheaton College president once said, in every life there is a purpose and a cause, a pause that is better than an onward rush. Better than hewing, which is knocking down or building up, the mightiest doing. 'Tis the standing still at a sovereign will. So is standing still important? You bet it is. It's our path of survival. You know, stillness is essential for the survival of animals in the wild. Just think of it that way. Especially during hunting season. And stillness is crucial for the success of soldiers in the battlefield. Or when we were playing hide and seek and didn't want to be found. You know, however, when the Lord says to you and me, be still, he is not speaking as much about our outward stability as he is our inward quality. So what are the spiritual secrets of being still? I believe we can be witness to three defining secrets that stillness implies. If you bear with me, we'll try to go through those. Secret number one, stillness implies we must watch with expectation. Don't we all have that? We need to be expectant of what's going to happen. You know, when Israel faced their hour of crisis at the Red Sea, Moses commanded the people in Exodus 14:13 to stand still. Yeah. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Not tomorrow, today. The Hebrew word translated still in this verse pictures a sentry standing faithfully at his post or station with attentive ears. He wanted to hear what was going on. A sentry is often posted to see what others cannot see from a ground level. Nearly every time the Lord said, "Be still," disaster appeared inevitable. However, it was in stillness that miraculous perception was achieved. When the Israelites could see only the Egyptians' army, in the Red Sea, Moses could see him who is invisible. And who would that have been? When Gehazi, Elijah's servant, could see only the Syrian army gathering, Elijah, one of God's prophets, saw the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire. When Balaam, a con artist, thought a clear pathway was up ahead, and trying to get away from a bad deal he had made, his donkey, prone to fairness, turned aside in stillness. And I think Deb mentioned that not too long ago. At the sight of an angel with its sword drawn, I think the donkey had more sense than Balaam. So my friends, the reason life is so complicated for most of us is because in our constant state of busyness, we have lost the conscious awareness of the Lord's presence. True spiritual vision is not our eyes capturing people, places, or things, but rather it is our hearts being captivated with the Lord. Secret two, stillness implies we must wait with endurance. Somebody's got endurance, they can go a long way on a drink of water, can't they? They sure can. Well, when Job, with all his personal and family losses, walked through the valley of unimaginable darkness, made it difficult to trace the hand of the Lord in his circumstances. Job was something else. However, his young friend Elihu wisely counseled him in Job 37:14, and says, "O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." How about that? Here again, the word still in this verse has a Hebrew meaning to take a stand in what remains. I just never understood as a child why we never ate dessert first, did you? But I knew that if I could tough it through the other stuff, it would be worth it in the end. And it was. After all that Job endured, the Bible summarizes his experience best in Job 42:12. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." Then when the Lord commanded the priest carrying the ark to stand still in the Jordan River, it was their enduring obedience that kept the waters parted while Israel finally entered the promised land. When God tells you he's going to do something, he's got a clock, he's got a schedule. Sometimes we think we can change it, but we can't. So let us be faithful. Another example was when Jesus interrupted a funeral procession in the town of Nain, a town close to Nazareth. those carrying the coffin, what'd they do? They stood still. Why? Out of respect. And witnessed the miracle of his resurrection power by raising a widow's son at that time. You see, stillness is simply the pause of man's awaiting the power of God. Vance Havner, a scholar, once said, "He who waits on God loses no time." You believe that? I do. God's power does not always manifest when we think it will, but it always does when it should. How has your life, my life, changed when God's power takes charge? I'll let you answer that one, because everybody has probably a different thought. But for me, myself, it's like a rescue from a terrible disease, a direction for a new and a free life, receiving a love that I did not deserve. We're having life's burdens transformed from pressures to peace. As when Jesus came down, and what happened? His glory filled our soul. Amen. Secret number three, stillness implies we must withdraw our engagements, whatever we got going on, and pay attention. Psalms 46:10 states, "Be still and know that I am God." The word still in this verse is making two statements in original Hebrew. It means relax, take your hands off. This was written at a troublesome time in Hezekiah's life, who was a respected king of Judah, and growing relationship with God at that time. When he faced circumstances beyond his control, not only had he received a blasphemous letter to speak of evil or lies is what it means. From a heathen king whose huge army threatened to destroy Jerusalem. And even Isaiah also was a prophet of God. Delivered a word from God that he was to prepare to die. Wow. What happens if you would ever get that news? Would you feel comfortable? Or would you be alarmed? Just stand still and think. And if the word panic would happen to pop in, there is anything like it, it's today when we can see the results of carelessness that pushes us into action. But the one mistake we are still most prone to make is growing impatient. With the Lord and trying to do His will our way. And are many other examples, such as Abraham. If only he would have stood still until Isaac was born, the Middle East might never have known the perpetual conflict it does today. So there's a lot of examples. If Saul had stood still until Samuel returned from the Lord's presence, his kingdom would have been established what forever. Well, brothers and sisters, there are many other examples of the power of discipline that could be explored, and we face many of the same challenges today. But I believe as we open our minds and our hearts to these three spiritual secrets and concentrate on being still, we need to think back on just what stillness implies. Again, a review. Number one, we must watch with expectation. Number two, we must wait with endurance. Secret three, we must withdraw our engagements. Can we register all that? I know I've said maybe a lot in a short amount of time, and it's hard to comprehend all that. But let me tell you, when the Lord makes his move, You'll know it. You'll know it. Well, brothers and sisters, if we allow these secrets of advice to mature, we understand that God is faithful to those who obey Him. And the obedience is a long-term commitment and more secure than any 401 human retirement plan that man can provide. So did you realize, and I know you probably heard this before too, those that work for the Lord know that the pay isn't much, but the retirement is out of this world. So sign up now for future benefits. So my friends, we can see that those that trust in the Lord are never brought to shame in their hope. And I believe in Isaiah 30:7 says it best. Their strength is to sit still, listen, and proceed. So brothers and sisters, in closing, I'd like to thank you for your presence here today and your kind attention in allowing God to speak to you through the message He has provided. And it is my prayer that the embrace of God's wisdom and love will strengthen our disciplines in the test of life and bind our character to always put God first and see the wonders that He can do. And so just to give you a little thing, I won't share this right here with you now. We're just going to close out the message, and I'll share this with you here in a little bit. But I do thank you again for your kind of patience to give me the privilege to be able to be here. And we just want to thank God for everything that He does, and just know that we are loved and we love you. So at this time, I think we'll have a hymn. May God add His blessing to His message. Yeah, and Frank was a little bit of an aggravator in his time, by all means. But let me tell you, it was endured with love. Thank you, brother.
But I took advantage of him because he was a lot younger than I
was. Amen to that.
And got away.
Thank you again, family, church family. And so just to confirm this, his message for today, he sent us a letter to ask me to read it to you. And it's addressed, this is to you. And who's it from? God. It says, "This is God. Today I will be handling all your problems for you. I do not need your help. If life happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it yourself. Kindly put it in the SFGTD, that's a good one, something for God to do box. I will get it in my time. All situations will be resolved, but in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed in the box, do not hold on to it by worrying about it. Instead, focus, be still, on the wonderful things that are present in your life now. Should you decide to share this with a friend, thank you, that you may be touched, you may have touched their life in ways you will never know. So have a nice day. I love you. Signed, God. I talk to you soon. Amen." And you know what? By the way, it was sent by Gmail, not email, Gmail. God bless you. May you have a great day in the Lord. As we